Wonderful, wonderful, wonderful is a Jesus, my Lord. Wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard, what's recorded in God's Word is a Jesus, our Lord. Wonderful. Oh, isn't He wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful is a Jesus, our Lord. Wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard, what's recorded in God's Word is a Jesus, our Lord. Wonderful. Oh, let's stand and sing it. Isn't He wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful is a Jesus, our Lord. Wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard, what's recorded in God's Word is a Jesus, our Lord. Wonderful. One more time. Oh, isn't He wonderful? Wonderful is a Jesus, our Lord. Wonderful. Eyes have seen, ears have heard, what's recorded in God's Word is a Jesus, our Lord. Wonderful. Oh, isn't He wonderful? Amen. He's got some pretty special people too. Don't you believe that tonight? Not in our own eyes we're not special, but according to Him we're special. And that's where it all matters anyway. Somebody say praise the Lord. Turn around and shake somebody's hand and tell them this. Our Lord is wonderful. Amen. Play some more of it, brethren, if you will. Buddy, He's wonderful, ain't He? God to see you. He's wonderful, ain't He? Amen. He's wonderful, Brother Tim. Amen. He's wonderful, buddy. Amen. Oh, isn't He wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful isn't Jesus our Lord. Wonderful. Oh, eyes have seen, ears have heard, what's recorded in God's Word isn't Jesus our Lord. Wonderful. Sing it one more time. Oh, isn't He wonderful? Wonderful, wonderful isn't Jesus our Lord. Wonderful. Oh, eyes have seen, ears have heard, what's recorded in God's Word isn't Jesus our Lord. Wonderful. Somebody say praise the Lord. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Go ahead and give the Lord a good hand clap tonight if you love Him. Hallelujah. Blessed be the Lord. Blessed be the Lord. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we look at our prayer request. Got several that we want to let you know about tonight. Brother Roosevelt Vilbrin sends this in to please pray for Sister Beatrice Vilbrin. She is going to see a specialist before tomorrow for a second opinion. The doctors don't give any hope in her case, but our Lord God is more than able. So we just agree with that and ask our Lord to help this sister and let the situation just be according to His divine purpose. I want to pray for Brother Albert Ward. That's Brother Darrell's father. He's in the hospital in Irwin with pancreatitis. So let's pray for Brother Elbert, that the Lord would just be with him. Please pray for Sister Dana Ayers. Her father and family have many needs in their lives. We'll just commit these things unto the Lord tonight. A special unspoken request for a family in our assembly who really needs God to move with their lives. The Lord knows all about that need tonight. I want to pray for Brother Tracy, who was in the hospital. We just commit our brother to the Lord tonight. Ask God to be with him. I want to pray for Amber Sutherland, who had her appendix removed, also having trouble with her intestines, is in a lot of pain. So let's pray that the Lord would help that situation tonight. Brother Gary says to please remember a very good friend of mine, Mr. Ed Sanders, in prayer. He's having surgery tomorrow for a very serious infection. So let's remember that need. Brother Reese wants us to remember his brother-in-law. He's having a rough time with cancer treatment. So let's pray for that need tonight as we pray and just commit these things unto the Lord. And then this announcement, there will be a trustee meeting tonight after service. So trustees, remember that after service tonight, there will be a trustee meeting for you. Have an unspoken prayer request tonight, something you'd like for this group to pray about. How many of you know that we're serving a God that's certainly more than able to meet all of our needs? Do you rest in that tonight? We rest in that promise that He said He would supply all of our needs. And I believe that, don't you? Let's stand to our feet tonight. Just before we pray, let's sing that little chorus. Just want to say thanks. Let's sing that tonight. We want to say thanks. Thanks. I give you thanks. Oh, oh, you've done. Well, I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh, Lord, I want to give you thanks. We want to say thanks. 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 I give you thanks for all you've done. I am so blessed. My soul has found rest. Oh Lord, I want to give you thanks. We want to say thanks.
Thank you, Lord.
Thanks.
Thank you, Lord.
I give you thanks. Jim Maxwell, would you come tonight, Brother Jim? Take us to the Lord in prayer. Let's just invite the presence of our Lord into this service tonight. Our pastor is feeling some better. He's here in the service with us tonight, so thank God for that. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord, Brother Jim. God bless you tonight, buddy. Appreciate you.
Let's bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we just want to take time to say thank you for another opportunity we have to come to the house of God. Lord, to be able to hear the things that we hear that comes across this pulpit, we're certainly a grateful people, Father. And it's certainly our desire, Lord, to be what we're hearing, Lord. And we desire to be that, to become what we're hearing, Father. So, Lord, we just want to commit this service into your hands, Lord. You know what we have need of tonight, Lord. I come sometimes to church thinking I know what I need to hear, but then it's just so far from what you know that I need, Lord. But, Father, we're just so thankful that you're aware of what our needs are and you come and you speak each and every time to us, Lord. We're just so thankful that we have a loving Father, Lord, that cares about His children, Lord. So, Lord, we just want to take this time, Lord, to commit these needs into your hands, Lord. And, Lord, as a mortal, Lord, as I stand here and hold these, Lord, someone just handed them to me and says, is there something you can do about it? I would just be overwhelmed. But, Lord, we have a great Father and one that has already appropriated and gone and taken those stripes, Lord, for the healing of these people and for these needs, Lord. So, Lord, we just want to, the greatest thing we know we can do is just commit it into your hands, Lord, and just leave it there and leave the outcome into your hands, Father. So, Lord, we just want to commit this service into your hands. We just pray for the speaker, Lord, that you would anoint him, that you would anoint us, Lord. And may we walk out of this church, Lord, better people than when we came in, Lord, we pray. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Jim. God bless you. Ushers, if you'll come at this time, we'll receive the evening offering you give us unto the Lord. If you're visiting tonight with us in the service, we want to welcome you. Glad to have each and every one of you here. All those that are streaming tonight, the services, may God bless those folks from around the world as they stream these services. Aren't you glad to be a part of a triumphant church? Are you glad to be a part of God's economy?
Amen.
Amen. Let's sing about a church triumphant tonight. I'm talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock, got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood and it's been through the fire. But one of these days, that church is going to move up higher. It's a church triumphant, oh Lord. And it's built by the hand of the Lord. I'm talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's built on the rock, got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood and it's been through the fire. But one of these days, that church is gonna move up higher. It's a church triumphant, oh Lord, and it's filled by the hand of the Lord.
See, Ship of Zion, it's the hope for the lost and dying.
Oh, yes, it is.
It's a soul-saving station.
Yes, sir.
It's the joy of my salvation.
Oh, sing it, church.
Well, it's the church triumphant, oh Lord, and it's built,
yes, it's built by the hand of the Lord. In the book of Revelation, it's built on the rock, got a firm foundation. It's been through the flood, been through the fire. But one of these days, that church is going to move up higher. It's a church, oh, triumphant, oh Lord, and it's built by the hand of the Lord.
It's been through the flood,
oh, yes.
But the flood couldn't harm it.
No, sir.
It's been through the fire,
yes, it has.
But the fire couldn't burn it.
Could not burn it.
It fed to the lions,
oh,
but the lions couldn't eat it.
The lions couldn't eat it.
Fought a lot of wars,
yes, but never defeated.
Well, it's the church triumphant, oh Lord, and it's built.
In the book of Revelation, it's been through the got a firm foundation.
It's been through the flood, it's been through the fire.
Oh, one of these days, that church is gonna move up higher. It's the church, oh, triumphant, oh Lord,
and
it's filled by the hand of the Lord.
But the floods couldn't harm it.
Sing it, buddy.
It's been through the fire, but the fire couldn't burn it. They tried to feed it to the lions, but the lions couldn't eat it.
Oh, they couldn't eat it.
Fought a lot of wars.
I like that part.
But never defeated.
Never defeated.
Well, it's the church.
Hallelujah.
Triumphant.
Oh, yes, it is.
The Lord.
Yes, it is.
And it's been.
Somebody say, praise the Lord.
By the hand of the Lord.
Well, we're talking about a church in the book of Revelation. It's been. Got a firm foundation. It's been through the blood and been through the fire, but one of these days that church is gonna move up higher. It's a church, oh, triumphant, oh Lord, it's been by the hand of the Lord.
Oh, and it's been by the hand of the Lord. I said it's been.
Oh yes, it is
by the hand.
Oasis. And God is your oasis in dry places. He makes flowers grow. Yes, God is your. Where his
that good at that one, think what I do with it. I'm just kidding. Amen. God bless you. I'm going to let you be seated tonight while we get ready to go on into the service. Anyway, Brother Harry's going to give us a song tonight over what he has picked out. I don't know if he had anything picked out or not, but he gave us a song tonight. We'll go right on into the service. You looking forward to the service tonight, what God has for you? Amen. God is good, isn't he? You believe that with all your heart? Somebody say, God is good. Well, let's just sing a little bit of that before you sing. Let's sing a little bit of that. God is good all the time. Yes, we'll just sing a little bit of that tonight. Brother Michael, the battery must be dead in this thing. It just keeps going off. So anyways, our God is good. I know he is. He's good all the time. God is good. Yes, he is. He's good all the time. You can search the whole world over. No greater friend you'll find.
He's not good just once in a while. He's good. Yes, he is. He's good all
empty. Everybody knows this, so help me.
Lord, without you, I couldn't face each morning. And without you, I couldn't sleep in peace each night. And Lord, without you, I couldn't go on another moment. Oh no, there's no use going on without you by my side. 'Cause Lord, you thing to me. I love you more than anything. Lord, you are everything to me. Like a desert in need of water, like a sailor in need of the sea, and like a great love story in need an author. Oh Lord, I need you always with me. 'Cause Lord, you are everything to me. Yes, Lord, everything to me. I love you more than anything. Lord, you are everything to me.
Jesus. That's not just a pretty song. That's really the life story of a believer. Let's stand together. Happy to be in the house of the Lord tonight.
Amen.
I'm really happy to be here.
Yeah,
I sure missed you all. Appreciate you praying for me. I certainly desire your prayers that you continue to pray for me. I still haven't passed this old devil called a kidney stone, but he's fixing to come out. This too will pass. Pun intended. Amen. I hate to trouble you and ask you to pray for me, but we need one another, don't we? Amen. So I just desire your prayers that the Lord would just help me. I've drunk lemon juice, apple cider vinegar, about everything that you can imagine. I figure another week of that, I'll turn into pickled bologna. Amen. You say, that's crazy. I can see you haven't had a kidney stone. I haven't tried battery acid, but I have thought about it. So I certainly desire your prayer that the Lord will just help me and be able to pass this thing. And Lance is going to come and speak for us tonight, so we want to just open our hearts to the Lord. I need strength in my body because I've drunk so much. I've not been able to eat none for several days. Eat a little bit more yesterday and today, so I feel pretty weak in my body yet. So just pray the Lord to let it pass. I'll go to eating again, get my strength back. Yes. We'll black eyes. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You'd think the devil would learn after a while. The children of God, when they go through things, they come out on the other side stronger, more convinced than ever before. And he loses every time he does it. But, amen. Are you happy to be a Christian? And just happy that we can learn through all of these things in life. Let's sing this together again. I love this song. I think it's so beautiful. Let's just sing it together now as we open our hearts to the Word. Just see what the Lord has on His heart to our heart. Sing for us.
Cause Lord, you
make love to Jesus now.
Are everything to me.
Everything to me, Lord.
Yes, Lord, you are everything to me. I love you more than anything, Lord, you are everything to me.
Bow our heads for a moment. Dear Jesus, over the years, one thing that I've noticed and kind of fell back upon is anytime I get down and out, anytime I get nervous or shook up, there's one thing I can always do, and when I do it, it makes me feel better. It's bow my head and talk to you. Lord, I'm so happy for that. I'm so thankful to have you today. We love you tonight, dear Jesus. We're gathered here and we're here so often. So Lord, tonight, as so many times before, we just pray you would come, have your way. Help me, Lord, to just step over to the side. I don't want to say anything here. And just let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless y'all tonight. Turn to Mark 12:8 if you have your Bibles. And I want to ask y'all a question. Do you love the Lord?
Amen.
Do you really love the Lord?
Yes.
I do too. It's something when we say, I love the Lord. But it's something completely different when the Lord can look at us and say, they love me. So when we say it and He says it, then we've got something.
Amen.
So tonight what I want to do is just look at the Word. Because that's God's voice. Let's look at the Word and see if He's saying to each of us individually, that person loves me. We say it, but let's see if He says it too.
Sure.
Mark 12:8. And one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together, and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment. God bless you. You can be seated. I want to get started here, read a couple of scriptures. And they're all going to be from the Old Testament. And I'm going to sound like a broken record. But there's a theme here that I want us to look at just for a minute. Deuteronomy 7:9 says this, knowing therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments.
Right.
Listen to these two things. That love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Therefore, Deuteronomy 11:1 says, therefore thou shalt love the Lord thy God and keep his charge and his statutes and his judgments and his commandments always. So we've got love, loving God, and then something follows every time. Keeping his charge, his statutes, his judgments, his commandments. Deuteronomy 19:9 says, if thou shalt keep all these commandments to do them, which I command thee this day, to love the Lord thy God, to walk ever in his ways, then thou shalt add three cities more than thee besides three. Deuteronomy 30:16. I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God, walk in his ways, keep his commandments and his statutes and his judgments, that thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. Exodus 20:5, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of thy fathers upon the children unto a third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. And there's more and more, but you get the drift here where I'm going, right? Loving God equals keeping commandments. And when I looked through the Old Testament today, and just looking at these things, and something else kind of stuck out to me that kind of pricked my heart. Because when I started seeing what this almighty great God was doing, looking down at his people, over and over and over and over saying, love me, love me, love me, love me. I started realizing, you know, this isn't just a mean God just commanding you to do something. This is someone who wants love. He's hungry for love from someone. And over and over and over he says it, love me, love me, love me, love me. And so rarely it seemed. He told it to thousands, millions of people. And it wouldn't take long till that love seemed to wane one-sidedly. There would be an individual here, few people there, but for the most part, there really wasn't that relationship with God that he was obviously longing for. The whole, all down through it, he wanted something to love, someone to love him. I tell you what, friends, I want to be that someone to love him. I want to do this. When you turn over to the New Testament, you see Jesus saying this in John 14:15. Sounds awful familiar. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments.
Right.
Sounds a whole lot like Jehovah of the Old Testament, don't it?
Yeah.
Seems pretty obvious to me who's speaking. I tell you, when you get to looking at Jehovah of the Old Testament and you look through the New, you think, my goodness, that sure was Jesus.
Amen.
Now, listen to something Brother Branham says here. He says, but sometimes people don't know what love is. You get love and sympathy mixed up. See, love is obedience. Just simple as that. Love is obedience. God speaks, it's obedience, regardless of what sympathy or anything else is. No wonder he said there in the Garden of Gethsemane, his sympathy was to leave his friends and everything. See, Jesus was sympathizing with his friends in Gethsemane. He didn't want to leave them. He loved them, and he knew they loved him, and he knew the pressure that it would be on them. That's where his sympathy was, but he laid that aside. His sympathy to leave his friends and everything, but he said, thy will be done. He said, that's right, that's love. That's real love is obedience. Listen, in 5:2. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God. We all love Jesus. We want the love of God in our life. That's who we are. We're Christians and we love God. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments.
Amen.
Listen to this next part. And His commandments are not grievous.
Amen.
Now, that right there is not for everybody. It all depends on who you are. Because if you are not a true Christian, buddy, it's grievous.
Right.
It's very, very grievous to try to keep this Bible and obey God. If you don't really have God inside of you doing it through you, if it's you all by yourself, I promise you it will be grievous.
Amen.
But if you've got God on your side, if you've got something on the inside, friends, it's not grievous.
Amen.
The grievous part is when you don't obey Him. When you look up and you realize you've made a mess of yourself, and there's your grievous part right there. Oh, my Lord. But the great part for a Christian, the fun part, the exciting part, the good part, no matter how much it pains, this is the other thing. But on the inside, the real thing that makes you so happy is recognizing that you have obeyed God. And nothing about it has been grievous, no matter how bad it hurt. That's a different thing. The real, what really counts, it's not grievous, friends. Listen, he says, for whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And I love that that scripture is right there after what's ahead of it. He goes straight from talking about keeping the commandments of God to overcoming. And I wonder how many times we get to situations in our life and we come right up to it. And then we fall flat on our face and we think, oh God, why can't I overcome this thing? Well, look back to that scripture ahead of it. Have you obeyed God in every situation leading up to it? Or has there been places where you let your flesh take over, where I let Lance decide what to do instead of what the Word says to do? When I obey me, it never fails. I don't overcome. Every time I obey Lance Parker, I fall. And every time, there's not been one time that I've obeyed the Word of God and not overcome. I've never obeyed God and fell on my face. So if we can get in our minds that obedience says there's a direct correlation with obedience and overcoming, just like love and obedience, friends, we're going to have a total package. We're going to be a Christian in love with God, obeying Him, overcoming everything that the devil put before us.
Amen.
That's who I want to be. A God loving, overcoming Christian.
Amen.
Now listen here, in 2 John 1:6, he says, and this is love, that we walk after His commandments. This is love. Friends, without this, listen, without an obedience to God, without walking in the ways of God, without taking the time as a Christian to recognize and to get alone long enough with God and to turn everything away to say, you know what? What does God, the Almighty God, the Creator of heaven and earth, what does He want for me? First, we have to recognize, friends, God wants something for every one of us. As big as He is and wonderful as He is, He loves everybody in this room and He has a plan for all of us. So, but it's our job to ask Him and then listen and find out and get along with Him and read the Word. What does God want for me in my life? And when we realize that, there's a first step. Then we can start in the right path, the direction, okay, this is what God wants for me. He has some basic things in His Word. We know God wants us to be a church. We know for a man, a husband, a dad, He wants me to be the right kind of husband that loves my wife and treats her right, the right kind of daddy that spends time with my kids and loves them. I know these things. But friends, there's also things that I don't know. The Word don't talk about it. The Word don't tell me certain things. Don't tell you everything. But you know what? Where this Bible and the message might not, God still speaks. And God will tell us and God will lead us. I believe that. But we have to get along with Him long enough to figure it out, you know. Listen here. Brother Branham says, how can you say that you're a Christian and disobey His Word in one thing? Whosoever disobeyed the law in one part of it was guilty of all of it. Whosoever, Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Not just part of the words, every word.
Amen.
Listen, he says this. When you come into total obedience, then you have possession. We want to overcome something. We want to get the devil by the neck. We want to take him down in our life and say, you know what? We're done with this. It's time to overcome. It's time to be a real Christian. It's time to stand up and claim my ground. Friends, this is mine. God gave it to me. It's not much, but it's me, and I'm not going to let it push me around. I'm not going to let the devil knock me off of it. It's mine, and I'm claiming it for God. But that's easier said than done. And it's impossible if every day when I wake up, I don't even think about obeying God. It's not even on my mind to obey God. I just go do what I want when I want. I get up and get in my routine and I go to work and I do what I want to do and just go to bed. I'm not overcoming anything. And you know what? Really and truly, I'm not obeying God. And a day later, 2 days later, Wednesday night, we get to church and think, look back and think, Lord, I think I need to do some repenting. I probably hadn't done everything I need to do. Friends, that's not overcoming. That's not obedience. That's not this total obedience that Brother Branham's talking about that brings us to an actual possession of something real in Christ.
Amen.
When you come to total obedience, then you have possession.
Sure.
But until you totally obey, he said, you've got to completely surrender. You want to totally obey, guys? Who wants to totally obey the word? Everything God, he says. He tells us how. You've got to completely surrender your own thoughts, your own will, your own mind. Your own thoughts, your own will, your own mind. Your thoughts. Every day, day to day, when you get up, the things that you do about your regular day, your actual thoughts. We're going to have to surrender them. Think about God every minute, every day. And the hardest one for me, because let me tell you something. I am stubborn by nature. I am. I think I can do it. And I don't know if it's how I was raised or it's mixed with how I was raised with just my crazy genes my mama and daddy gave me on down. But I hate it about me. I hate being so hard-headed. I hate being stubborn. And I'll tell you something's even worse. I gave a lot of it to my kids, and boy, I really hate that part of it. But I, by the grace of God, am going to crush it through obedience. I've got a key now how to crush it. I can completely deny that in my life by shoving it down, looking at the word, and obeying. Just obey. When you think, it's so simple, but it's so hard. But it's not grievous. But it's so hard sometimes. Let me tell you something, friends. I promise you, we can do it.
Amen.
There's nothing that's going to keep us from it except our own self. Listen here. Whew. Brother Brown says, oh, the ministers today are having such a time with getting their people out to prayer meeting on Wednesday night. They love television programs. And they love amusements. Sunday, they don't want to come to church, many of them. They tell me, the ministers, that the church pews are empty. Emptying out because that people are beginning to go. The world offers so much class, so much fancy and tinsel upon the things of the world until people are falling for that. Listen now. Listen. Just think about our lives. We live in Laodicea. How easy is it for us? Because entertainment is everywhere. Everything is everywhere. I was listening today when Brother Brandon was talking. He talked about going to the movie pictures. He said, boy, the devil's really pulled the wool over our eyes because he put it on our house now. And I thought, my goodness. Now he's really pulled the wool over our eyes now because he's put it on our phones and our computers. Hey, we can do it. Watch anything. Do anything. Right on our little phone. I mean, the entertainment's everywhere. If you want to, you never have to think about God again and completely fill yourself up with other things. We all can do it. If that's what we want, we can all do it. We can come right here, come to church on Wednesday night, wait till it gets through, and go right back out and to just get into all of our entertainment. We can get into our football and to watching our movies, and we can do all of that and not think about God anymore till the next service. If that's what you want, if that's what we want. But friends, that, when you do that, let me tell you what that is not. That is not loving God. That is not loving Jesus. That's not the love of God. Because the love of God is obedience. The love of God is sacrifice. That's the truth. I'm going to be honest. There's something in my life I really have to watch. And I'm very careful with it. It's football. I was raised a football fan. I was raised in a football family down in Louisiana. It is a big deal. But now that I've come to the Lord and I've become a Christian, you know what I've realized? I can't have the same zeal for it that I had. I have to be careful with it because it's so easy for me to get way too caught up in it. So it's something I watch very carefully. I know it and the devil knows it, but thank God I know it, because if I didn't see it, boy, I'd be in a world of hurt.
Amen.
And we've all got things like that. We have to watch. Be careful with it. It's there, friends. Don't deceive yourself in thinking everything's all right.
Amen.
Listen here. He says, now that shows that at the beginning they had... Excuse me. He talks about... I don't want to reread that paragraph. About the television programs, the amusements, all the things. Can't get them in church anymore. Brother Merrick goes on to say, now that shows that at the beginning they had nothing to start with. Listen, for if you love God, you couldn't wire you away from the church. Now, I don't know what wire you away means, but he after he says they couldn't chain you away from it. So I guess it's something like that. No, they can't keep you away from it. In other words, you want to be there. You want to go. They couldn't chain you away from it. They can't hide a believer from God, he says. Listen now. In his heart, he says, he might be all deceived now. There's many people, listen to this, guys. Let's don't be one of these people. Now, there's many people actually think that they're all right. But if they just stop and watch your life, let's all watch individually, let's watch our lives tonight and see if God's saying we love him. But they just stop and watch your life. You see that the Spirit of God isn't there. If it doesn't cope with this Bible, if your life doesn't cope with this Bible, if you can take your life and you know more than everybody else what you do with your life, I know more than anybody else what I do with mine. And if I take my life, what I live, you take your life and we run it through here, does it cope? Does God say to you through this word, does he say, he loves me? She really loves me.
That's right.
Or is he silent on the subject, just letting you say, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord, I love you, Lord. But he can't say it back. He can't say he agrees. Because it don't cope here.
Right.
Let's don't be this, friends.
Amen.
But if they just stop and watch your life, you'd see the Spirit of God isn't there. If it doesn't cope with this Bible, then there's something wrong with the experience that you have. So you must go back and line up with the Word and see if the life of God is in you. It's all in our minds. You just do it, friends. It's worth it. It might sting, but it's worth it.
Amen.
See if the life of God is in you. Listen, if you love the world better than the love of prayer meeting, listen to this now. If you'd rather watch a television program than to pray. Now, it's everywhere, guys. You'd rather read your favorite book or whatever it is. If TV's not your, television show's not your thing, what is your thing? Put it there. If you'd rather watch a television program than to pray, there's something wrong with you, Brother Branham says. This is for everybody who still believes William Branham is a prophet. He believes he's a messenger of Malachi 4. I believe it. I really believe it. So these scriptures mean a lot to me. These quotes rather mean a lot to me. He says, there's something wrong with you. If you'd rather take Sunday afternoon ride instead of going to church, there's something wrong with you somehow. Because where your heart is, there your treasures are also, said the Lord Jesus. Listen to this right here. This is amazing. Your heart is built into it. You're a part of it. When I read that, and I thought, my gracious. And I was over in the little building there, and I was looked at the building. At all the nuts, the bolts, the red iron, everything that's there that makes up a building. The stuff that was built into it. And friends, it would be hard to get that out. If you want to just pick one little bolt back up in there and get it out, it's built in there. You about have to tear the building down to get it out. And I have a feeling some of us, to get back to where we need to be, we're going to have to tear some buildings down. But listen to this. He says, your heart is built into it. You're a part of it. Hey, listen to this. He says, oh, you become a part of Christ because you're built into the structure of Christ. I tell you what, that made me so happy. That's what I want in my life. I want to be so caught up with Christ, so apart until I look around and I'm so built up into Christ, built in the body of Christ, I couldn't get out if I wanted to. To get me out, you'd have to tear the whole body of the Lord Jesus Christ down to get me out. I want to be so caught up in Christ till I'm so into the infrastructure, there's no turning back, no getting away. I'm caught up in the Lord Jesus. Amen. Don't you want that for yourself? Yes, he says, you're a part of it. He says, because you're built into the structure of Christ. Because you're the bride of Christ. Now listen to this last part. He says, if you love him. That's if you love him. So we're just talking about a simple little subject of loving the Lord. How many loves the Lord? Do you love Jesus? I believe the word. Let's let the word say it about our life too. Because friends, I'm going to be honest with you. As wonderful as it is for me and you to say, I love Jesus, doesn't mean anything if he's not saying it too. If I every day of my life, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. Lord Jesus, I love you. But then I go out and everything I do is contrary to my words. I don't pray. I don't read my Bible. I don't put him first. I don't inquire what he wants me to do before I do something. I just haul off and do it because, bless God, I can do it because I'm a man and I can do what I want to. Well, when I can have that mentality, no matter how much the whole time I'm saying, I love Jesus, I love Jesus, Jesus is looking and saying, Lance don't love Jesus like he said. He might say he loves me, but if he loved me, he would keep my commandments. Listen here. Children of disobedience. Disobedience means rebellion. He says, I looked that up in the dictionary to be sure. Rebellion. Rebellion against what? The revealed word of God. Like Cain rebelled against Abel's revealed revelation, vindicated of God that it was righteous, and Cain rebelled against it and slew his brother. Friends, I don't mean to say anything out of the way or wrong, but I believe with all my heart the reason so many people are simply leaving the message, and not just leaving it, have such a bad taste and they want to talk about it and run it down, it all comes back to one thing, love. They don't genuinely love God. If they truly had love, genuine, this kind of love that I'm talking about, if they had the love of God in their heart, they could not be rebelling against a genuine revelation from God, vindicated by God. Listen here, he says, the Pharisees, with all their denominational knowledge of what the Word of God was, selected, handpicked, they were so educated. They knew so much about the Word. They rebelled against the vindicated Word of God made manifest for that day. Jesus Christ, and they killed him. That's right, he says. Let's don't be that, friend. I know it's so easy. I actually thought tonight I was going to get to preach on something called the leaven of the Pharisees, which is way different from this. But it's so easy when we get so educated in the message to become a Pharisee. Before we know it, we can start out with good intentions, want to do good things, and we get knowledge and we learn and we grow and we grow. But if we don't get something deep set, the bottom line, if we don't get the Holy Ghost down in our soul and the seal of God in our life, that's just what it is. If we don't get that, but we keep gaining knowledge and knowledge and knowledge and knowledge, before we know it, so many questions will pop up. So many things will happen. You won't realize, you won't know, before you know it, you become starchy, unsure, you become a Pharisee. You know a lot, You're able to quote a lot. Probably most of the Pharisees that are around this message, I guarantee you they could quote me into a corner. I wouldn't know which way was up. But when it was all said and done, I still wouldn't deny this word. Let's don't be that Pharisee, friends. Let's make sure we've got the real thing and just stay humble, stay close to Jesus. Let's just stay close, hug up to this word real close. Amen. And just deny everything that's not this. Listen, for the spirit of Antichrist that you heard was to come into the world is already in the world now, Brother Branham says. Working in the children of what? Disobedient. Disobedient to what? The word. So everybody's looking for the Antichrist. You want to find the Antichrist? I tell you, friend, it's not President Obama. It's not Walmart. It's not anything so carnal. It's simply denying the word. Just be careful where we stand always. Be careful what we say. Be prayerful. Be thoughtful. And most importantly, just fall in love with Jesus. The more there's one thing I know, I believe with all my heart. If for any person who genuinely loves Jesus Christ, they will never have to worry about rejecting him, falling away from him. They don't have to worry about crucifying him. They won't have to worry about being a Pharisee. They don't have to worry about blaspheming. All they'll have to do is just keep falling in love with him and walking and giving themselves over to him and going on with him until they have come so given over to Jesus Christ and they have so, their daily walk is so dependent on Jesus Christ till they have depended on him all the way to a rapture. And the rapture is just one more thing to depend on Jesus for. When you're somebody, if you're like me, and it's hard to depend on other people and when other things, and when you do, it just hurts and it stings and oh, you don't know. It's just something about it. But I have come to a point in my life where I've realized I have to kill that in my life. I have to depend on others, and I have to most importantly depend on God. Daily, day by day, if I depend on, because here's one thing I know I can't do. No matter what I think I can do for myself, I will never be able to rapture myself. I can't heal myself when I'm sick, so why would I be able to rapture myself? So friends, I'm not even going to try to rapture myself. What I'm going to do is lean on Jesus. I'm going to walk with him, depend on him, fall in love with him. So when that rapture time comes, he's going to be the one who started it all. I'm going to let him finish it all. It's so much easier than worrying about it. Listen here. Now notice the power to transform. Now notice what that done to Cain. And it's going to be the same today. It made Cain go away. Listen, here's a key here. A willful sinner. There's a difference in doing something wrong and being a willful sinner. He was willfully was disobedient. Every person will be the same way, willfully disobedient after they had seen Abel's message so vindicated of God. So vindicated of God. My goodness, friends. It breaks my heart for people. It just breaks my heart when you can see the vindication of God. You know it's here. You know it's here. But can genuinely turn away and say, I don't believe it. From my heart, I hope they really don't believe it and really don't see it. Every person be the same way, willfully disobedient. He had seen Abel's message so vindicated of God that it was the truth and refused to do it. Done the same. Then he crossed the dividing line. There's a line you can cross. You know that, don't you? Now, ministers, both of you in the telephone land where the broadcast is coming across the nation. You realize that. Listen, let's think about our individual lives. What we know individually about the word. So don't leave it broad. Bring it to me and take it to you. Sure. When you see it is scripture and you won't do it. Yeah. No. Now look, friends, we can't just make it for ourselves, make excuses. Well, I know better. I just know better. I got to do better. Man, I hate I do this. There comes a point to everything. We've got to get over that. We've got to walk. We've got to walk on. Or there's something missing. It's one or the other. It's not. There has to be a point to where mistakes turns into willful disobedience. A mistake is one thing, but when you every day that you live for the last 10 years, you've got up and you made the same mistake every day, and every night you say, "God, I'm sorry for that same mistake," and then then the next day you get up and you make the same mistake. Eventually, there comes a point to where you know that mistake is coming, and you've got to be, if you've got God in you, you've got to be able to get past that thing. If you don't, friends, there's no God there yet. Or you don't love him enough yet. There's something there. You got to fall in love with him more, because we all have to get to a place to where that moves back and we walk on with Jesus and it ain't there no more.
Amen.
It's good for the big stuff, but it's also good for us individual, our little life too.
Amen.
When you see it in scripture and you won't do it, God won't always, he says, you'll go on and be blessed. Here's, it's so scary. Oh my. So was everyone in Israel. They lived right in the wilderness. Listen to this now. You talk about blessed. They raised children, crops, and blessed, and everything. But think about what was going on. Manna falling from heaven. Shoes and clothes not getting old. There was miracle after miracle. Walking through the Red Sea. They'd done so much. But there come a point when all the miracles were still happening. They had rejected the word. Brother Brown says, every one of them eternally separated from God. Friends, God help me. God help every one of us not to fall in a position to where we get up every day and we go about our life every day and we come here to Happy Valley every service and we sit down and we get such in a rut and so caught up and we get to a place to where we're looking at the Bible, we're hearing the word preached, but we get so callous to it to where it doesn't affect us anymore, it doesn't convict us anymore, and we know it's right, but then we go out and do what we want to do anyway and think we're okay. Do we realize when we get there where we are? We're standing in a very dangerous spot. We're standing where Israel stood, friends, when they were eternally separated from God. Let's check our lives. Let's see if that's there. If you're there, friend, find something. Get to an altar. Do something. Pray for conviction in your heart. Let's don't be there. Let's walk on with Jesus.
Amen.
I love you. And I don't want this to happen to anybody. Listen, he said Israel had those experiences. He said Israel, listen to the type message believer, had come out of Egypt. It's sin. So we had a believer come out of Egypt, out of believer coming out of sin. Does that sound like anybody? Sounds like me. They seen signs. That sounds like me. They saw miracles. I've seen miracles. And wonders. Hey, I've seen wonders. All along their road. You know what? I've seen every bit of this all along my road. Been right here at this church. I've seen all this. So that's starting to sound like me. People I know. Sounds like I might need to pay attention to this part for myself anyway. If y'all don't, y'all can fall asleep right here. But I'm going to listen. They passed through the Red Sea on dry land. They'd see manna fall out of heaven every night. They were witnessing the blessings of God upon their life. But then they failed. They disobeyed one of God's commandments. And what happened? The blessings cut off from them. And they presumed that because God had been so good, that he'd just go on and be good. Listen, friends. Brother Brandon says, but God can't do that. So just remember where you are, friends. Think about it. Nobody knows but you. Nobody knows about me but me. Not the real me. Nobody knows you but you. Deep down, it's you and God. Deep down, it's me and God. No matter who you are. We can put on a good front, but I'm not talking about the front. I'm talking about when it's you and God and when it's me and God and when it really counts. This is going to be the stuff that counts when it gets, you know, to days like Judgment Day and days like Rapture Day. This is the stuff I'm talking about. The right here stuff. Not the each other. But when we're there, friends, let's check and see.
Amen.
Let's don't be to the place to where we are so calloused to where we just think, well, I'm fine. I'm comfortable. I'm happy. I like my life. I like my everyday thing. I'm going to go on like this. And you, every now and then, whenever you happen to hear a little bit of the Bible, or you make it to church, or you feel a little convicted, decide to turn a tape on, and sure enough, Brother Branham says something like, maybe I should do that. I mean, you turn it off and go on, and in your mind, you know it's right, but you don't want to think about it, so what do? Hey, let's go watch some football, or let's go do this, or let's go do that. The devil's got everything in the world in Laodicea to take your mind away from that. Because one thing, let me tell you something. Satan does not want us to think about God. Satan don't want us to think about life, real, true, eternal life. Satan doesn't want us to think about those things. He wants us to think about work, and how to make money, and how to live, and where we're going on vacation, what our entertainment's going to be, and what's going on for Thanksgiving, and what we're going to get the kids for Christmas, and how we're going pay our bills. If we can just do all of that and not think about God, then friends, it makes the devil so happy, because he's got you, you know. He's got me as long as I'm there. But whenever I can stop at the beginning of every day and say, you know what, I've got a bunch of stuff going on here. Before I do any of it, I want to find out what I'm supposed to do. Because I've got a man who knows what's going on, and if I talk to him, he can lead me down the right path. When we do that, friends, we're going somewhere now. Ephesians 5:6 says, let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God unto the children of disobedience. Listen to this word disobedience. It means obstinate opposition to the divine will. Tell you something, friends. I've been there. I've been to points in my life to where God would have wanted me to do something, and I have obstinately disagreed with Him. Didn't want to do it, and walked out of the will of God with my hard-headed self, and had to eat crow all the way back. And I tell you what, I thank God He loves me enough to bring me back, you know, not let me stay there. But when we find ourselves in a position, and one thing about it, everybody's going to find themselves in a position to where the will of God is going to come up in your life, and you won't want to do it. So you're going to have to make a decision right there. What are you going to be? Are you going to be a lover of the Lord? If you're a lover of God, what does people who love God do? They obey the Word. They obey the Word. And what are the children of disobedience? Antichrist. Listen here. 1 John chapter 2, and I'm going to hustle up here. And hereby we do know that we know Him. Don't you want? Ain't you glad there's a way? You don't have to think you know Jesus. You can know you know Jesus. You know. We can say, I find it so comical for me. When people, I've had atheists talk to me, and they just find me so, you know, Christians are just kind of off, you know. And they want to convince me that there's no God, and they have their sciences. And I think it's great for them. That's fine. I tell them, like, look, man, I'm going to be honest with you. I told a guy this down in Louisiana. I said, you make good points, but I just don't have enough faith to believe there's no God. He looked at me real funny. He said, hey, I said, you've got a lot more faith in me. I said, because everything you've told me tells me there is a God. And I said, for me, I've seen God do miracles. I was married at the time, and Ellie had come along. I said, I wasn't supposed to live till I wasn't supposed to graduate high school because of my heart. And I'm in my 30s. My wife wasn't supposed to. She had the kidney problems we all know about. God performed a miracle. I told her, my whole house is just a walking miracle of God. Everywhere you turn, every corner, it's a miracle of God. I said, I'm sorry. I can't look away from that. I don't have the faith that you have. I see too much to know there's God to have faith that there's not. I'm sorry. And I'm so happy that I don't have enough faith to think there's no God. Listen. And hereby, we do know that we know Him. How? How do we know? If we keep His commandments. So do you want to know if you really know God? Do you want to know that you know that you know that you know? If you want to know that you know God, it's simple. Take a test. Take this word and the commandments of God, line it up with your life, and see if your life lines up and obey in obedience to the commandments of God. And if it does, guess what? You pass the test. You know Him. God says, I know Him. Listen here. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar. Uh-oh. The Bible says something about liars, don't they? They have a place somewhere. Man, I don't want to be a liar. Let's just say that. I don't want my place. And know Him and keepeth not His commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Listen to this. This is just so beautiful. It's so simple. This is all we have to do. But whoso keepeth His word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Is it true? Is it really as simple as obeying the word of God? And then God turning your life and creating love perfected in you. Man, why aren't we all doing that? I don't know about you guys, but I'm on that road. That's where I'm going. My goal, the goal in my life is love perfected it through God in me. Because I know I can attain that with simple obedience to the word. Listen here. Listen to this. Ephesians 5, 6. I'm sorry. Let's finish this. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. It's the Lord Jesus. Look. Listen here, friends. I'm going down a few places. John 14:21. He that hath my commandments, this word hath is to hold, to have in the hand, in a sense of wearing. So he that holds in his hand and puts on and wears my commandments, who is enveloped, just puts it on, don't ever want to take it off, got it real close. I've never had something in my hand a long way away. If it's been in my hand, I've always known it was there. He who has the commandments of God in his hand and is clothed in them and keepeth them. Listen, I love this. Keep is to attend carefully.
Sure.
Amen. Paying attention to them.
Amen.
We're not just going about our day and however we want to go about it. Before we do anything, we're keeping them. We're tending carefully. We wake up when something happens. Before we make a move, wait, whoa. I got something. Where's those commandments? I can't let them out of my sight. I've got to look. I got them right here. I need to take care of these because it's very, very important to me. Because without this, I get in trouble. So I never want to let this out of my sight. You're attending very carefully to the commandments of God.
Amen.
He that wears my commandments, that hath my commandments, and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. Isn't that who we want to be? We want to love Jesus? All right. What's it take to love Jesus? Keeping the commandments, attaining to them, wearing the commandments. They're all over you. They're all around you. They're over you. They're in you. You're wearing them. You're living them. You're looking over them. You're looking after them. You're taking care of them. They're inside of you. They're outside of you. They're all around you. It's all about the commandments of God. When it comes to our life, we're not going to make a move. We're not going to take a step. We're scared to do anything before we address the commandments of God. What does He say about this? What does He want me to do? And if it's not in the Word, we say, well, we got to hit our knees to find God's specific commandment for me for this situation, because I love Jesus, and I know that when I love Jesus, that means one thing. I've got to wear these commandments. I've got to take care of these commandments. I've got to look really close at these commandments, because I'm not going to move. I'm not going to go anywhere without the commandments of God for one reason. I love Jesus. Do you love the Lord? Listen, I love this right here. He that loveth me, He that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Same verse where we're just going on down. And I will love him, and I will manifest myself to him. That just does something to me, friends. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself to us and not unto the world? All right, he says, okay, there's a question here. The world's not going to know Jesus, but we're going to know you. We're going to see intimate parts of you nobody else will. How's this going to happen? How can we do this when nobody else can? Jesus answers, if a man love me, he will keep my words. Listen here. All right, this is loving God.
Amen.
Being obedient. Simple. It's just a simple little message here, friends. You know me. I'm as far away from deep as you can get. If a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. So there's going to be a way. There's going to be individuals. See, Jesus took it down a notch. It was no more a group. He took it from there to one by one by one by one. It wouldn't work for a whole bunch of people in this thing. Because what it is if you love me and you keep my commandments, I and my Father will come to you. And there is that intimate relationship. There's that manifestation that nobody else is going to get. I want to know Jesus like nobody else knows him. Because I want to be that wife, that somebody he can talk to, that somebody who obeys him, who loves him, who can let me see parts of him that he's not going to let other people see. That's who I want to be, friends. I don't want to be just somebody else. I don't want to be just another church going, I'm called and I am meant and predestinated to be more than that. And I'm not going to settle for less if that's what I'm meant for. Listen now. He that loveth me and keepeth not my sayings and the word which ye hear, he that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. So it's quite simple. You love him, you obey him. You don't love him, you don't obey him. Everybody here, all of us here, fall into one of those spots. We love Jesus or we don't. But nobody wants to say, I don't love Jesus. Even if your life is screaming it. I don't love Jesus. I don't love Jesus. I don't love Jesus. Every step you make, every day, everything you do, you are screaming, I don't love Jesus. I don't love Jesus. But somebody asks you, do you love Jesus? Your mouth says, yes, I love Jesus. But we're either one or the other. All I'm doing is just saying, think in your mind who you are. Do you love Jesus? Or do you want to love Jesus? But you really don't love Jesus. Because to you, it's still a little grievous to love Jesus. Just think. That's all I'm doing is saying think. I'm the last person to judge anybody, I promise you. All right. We got it. We have to go. Listen here. John 15:14. Let's skip on down to the 14th. He says, this about makes me cry to think of it. He says, you are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. Friend, can the Jesus call you friend? Can by the word you look at it and you say, you know what? Me and Jesus are friends. We're really close. Now I really love him and he loves me and we're just real friends. I tell you what, friend, if you can, there is no one more blessed than you. No one more. He is far and away the best friend I've ever had. He is amazing. He's a real person. My wife, she's my best friend on earth. I love her with all my heart. But Jesus, it's just, he's so special. He's done so much. He's my hero. And I don't leave it so vague. I hate to even say that to people because it just sounds like
Well, okay, yeah, of course he is. But think, if you just think about the man Jesus and what he did and how he lived his whole life. I thank God for the cross and for him dying and for that blood. But think, friends, his blood would have been worthless had he not lived from the day he was born to the time he was crucified perfect. Every day that he got up, when you mess up, he didn't. And don't think he was super extra special. He had to go through. He went through everything we went through. He had the temptation. He was a man living perfect in this world. Lord have mercy. How awesome is that? How wonderful is he? Who can do that? Nobody but Jesus. He's so incredible. He's my hero. My goodness. Superman's got nothing on him, friends. He's Jesus. Let's stand. Bow our heads just for a second. Lord Jesus, you know me, Lord. You know what was on my heart, and here we are. So I just want you to know, with all my heart, I did my very best to obey you. Because I see more than ever how important it is to obey you. So I pray tonight that you will just have your way in this place. Lord, I'm not going to ask for hands or anything like that. Because the bottom line is, this is between a person and you. So I pray you would deal with hearts, Lord. If there's someone out there right now and they know where they fall, and they fell on the side of, they really didn't love you, right? There's going to be some, of course, that fall there that won't care. They'll kind of get past it. They'll feel a little bad for a little while and move on. But I know there's going to be some that it really affects. I pray you give them the strength to obey. Just obey, whatever it is. The most important thing is that from here on out, every day, they do everything they can to put you first and obey you. Now, I didn't get to read the quote there about the little woman having the question. But Lord, everybody makes mistakes. Everybody falls short. Everybody backslides a little bit. Brother Reynolds said, minorly. But when it comes to life, our intentions are always right and always towards you. Lord, I pray you would be with each person here today. Let your will be done. We love you, Lord. Before I quit, I just want to say thank you, Jesus. Thank you so much. You know, since you've told me that about your life, and I've really been able to see what you went through, I've never really seen you the same since. And I can't really talk to you without saying thank you. So, Lord, thank you for your life. Thank you for the day-to-day commitment you put in. Because without that, we would all be hopeless. You are our hero, Lord. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, Brother Bonnie.
How many wants to love him more in a more surrendered way? I believe it's a very, very simple thing. What's wrong with most Christians is their love life. Not necessarily to their wife or boyfriend or girlfriend, but their love life to him. Our predecessors, our fathers who laid this gospel, they brought it considering the world that was around them, emperors, rulers, it would cost them their life. If we'd been living 2,000 years ago to preach a message like this, each of us could have been killed. All the preachers in here could have been absolutely crucified, hung upside down for ministering to the sick or making an altar call. if we didn't worship Nero. As it went on from one emperor to another, Diocletian, on and on and on, it got worse and worse. But yet they considered this such a great thing. They loved the Lord Jesus so much. And think of it. For 30 years, they didn't even have a Bible. Didn't even have a Bible, not a New Testament. They didn't have facts. They didn't have Google. They didn't have Yahoo to prove a bunch of stuff they believed. They was taking people's words for it. Can you imagine trying to believe a resurrection upon facts, on archaeological finds? The only way you and I can even believe in a resurrection is we have to take eyewitnesses' word for it. There is no scientific proof that Jesus raised from the dead. But I'm proof. But I'm not scientific, but I'm proof. So what was it? It was committed to eyewitnesses. They preached, they believed it, they acted it, because they loved Him more than they loved anything else in the world. Amen. I know we say it a lot, but do you really, really love Him? Really, really love Him. That's what it's going to take, friends, to get us out of here. Our theology, this and that and the other. Because you think doctrines, we know doctrines are so important. You honestly think heaven is going to be filled with doctrinal debate? Are we going to sit around the throne of God and just argue back and forth about the third pole and the second pole and the opening of the word and revealing the seals and all that sort of thing? Many of those things are given to us only in time. When the resurrection comes, many of these issues, we won't even mention them again. We won't mention skirts and hair and jewelry and all that sort of thing. That's not even necessary on the other side. What will sustain us? Love. Love. Amen. Let's sing together. Are you singing for us? The more I seek you, the more I find you. Listen to this now. Let's sing just a little bit before we go.
The more I seek you.
This is the kind of relationship He wants us to have.
The more I find you.
Yes, Jesus.
The more I love you, I wanna sit at your feet, drink from this cup in your hand, lay back against you. It's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you. The more I find you. Thank you. It's more than I can understand. I rest in your peace. It's overwhelming. The more I seek you, the more I find you. And the more more than I can understand. I rest in your peace.
I rest in your peace.
It's overwhelming.
Hallelujah. 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 Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I want to ask some of your brothers.
Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me victory beneath the cleansing blood. I've got victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me
victory,
victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He saw me and He bought me with His redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew Him, and all my love is due Him. He plunged me cleansing blood. I heard an old story, how my Savior came from glory, how He gave His life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about His groaning of His precious blood.
Me.